We come before you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy to us. We thank you for your favor and kindness. And we thank you for your peace that you give us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for our sister and brothers as they led us tonight to sing praise to your name and to come before the throne of grace to say, hallelujah, what a Savior. We pray, Lord, for all of these who are here tonight and those who are listening to us online in various kinds of circumstances. May they know the blessing and favor of God and the love of God tonight in a very real way. We pray that you might help us be faithful as a church to carry out your commands and the work that you've given us to do. And Lord, we ask that tonight you'd open our eyes to the truth of your word, and that we would be faithful to understand it and then to obey it. You said, if we love you, we'll obey you. So I pray that tonight we would hear what you have to say to us. Most of this to many of us is not new, but make it new tonight. And then help us to be obedient. We pray for the ministries going on all across the campus of the church. Bless all of our leaders and the faithful ones who serve in so many places and ways to share Jesus and to make disciples. We thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that you'd guide us. We honor you as the head of the church, our Lord and Savior, our great high priest and coming King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to see all of you. Good evening. Those of you who are online, may the Lord bless you. We're glad that you're with us. I want you to do something. I hope you picked up the outline tonight. And I want you to turn, first of all, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And let me do a little bit talk to you about some upcoming things to remind you. Next Wednesday night, we'll still be right here in place, carrying on our Wednesday evening Bible study, but also for many who would like to do that. Time change will be coming. When is time change? When is it? See, none of you know. Would somebody look up on your phone? What is it? All right, Brother Jeff Hooks, thank you very much. First Sunday of November. Now, you need to mark that on your calendar. Some of you are as confused as me. And so we know time change is coming. We also know it's going to start to get darker. Many of our people travel from lots of places. So we want to have an opportunity for people to come on Wednesday at noon. So we'll be having Wednesday noon days. We'll continue those. But we'll also have Wednesday night. Same lesson, two times, two opportunities. So come whenever you'd like to. Brother Jeff Clark is going to join me. And we're going to sing and do our time together on Wednesdays at noon starting next week, and then we'll have our wonderful dear brothers and sisters who always lead so well here in the evenings, and how we're blessed by that. Also, all of the information I've been going through with you in Know the Truth is found in our Baptist Faith and Message. This is our Baptist confession. This is what we believe. I was speaking with one of our church members today, reminding them that there are essentials that we believe as Baptists that are biblical convictions, and they're all written here. We're not going to finish them all, but there are some additional things that we believe that we're not going to cover, but I hope you'll read them. One is about education that is going on even tonight in our church building. Another is about our stewardship and our giving. Another is about how Southern Baptist churches cooperate together to do missions, which is a huge, important part of who we are. We also have an article on the Christian and social order, peace and war, a very important article on religious liberty. Baptists have always been, from the founding of the United States of America, leaders in religious liberty. Whether you know that or not, it's important for you to read that confession. And then finally, we have a very important statement, a confession about the family, which is so needed in our day where there's such confusion. So tonight, Know the Truth, Evangelism and Missions. Let me just read the statement to you first of all. I've broken it into pieces. It is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. The new birth, that is being born again of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit, means the birth of love for others. Missionary effort on the part of all rests thus upon a spiritual necessity of the regenerate life and is expressly and repeatedly commanded in the teachings of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has commanded the preaching of the gospel to all nations. It is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness, undergirded by a Christian lifestyle, and by other methods in harmony with the gospel. Now, before we read some of these materials, I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here Paul is talking about a number of very important things, but I pick up in verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. As we now think about evangelism and missions. Therefore, being always of good courage, let me go down to verse 9. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home, that is here on the earth, or absent, that is to be in heaven, to be pleasing to Him, to be pleasing to God. The ambition of the believer. What is your ambition tonight? Well, I want to have a great job. Well, I want to succeed. My ambition is to be a good father, mother. My ambition is to have a good family. My ambition, fill it in. What should be the ambition of every believer? Well, we have it here. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, I will please God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The we is believers. He's writing to the church at Corinth. For we Christians must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed, that is paid, repaid, or rewarded for his deeds in the body according to what he's done, good or bad. So everyone here, what we did today, what we said today, the values we've demonstrated, the way we've lived today, we will give account to the Lord of how we've spent the day. Another day is about done. As I say to you all the time, you're older today than you've ever been. The day is almost done. Life is short. Paul goes on and says, therefore. In fact, you have three therefores. Verse 6 is a therefore. He's drawing a conclusion. Verse 9 is a therefore. And then in verse 11, you have a therefore. Knowing the fear of the Lord. That is, I'm not afraid that I'm not going to go to heaven when I stand before the Lord, but I have fear of the Lord Jesus that I'll displease Him. Paul says, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. This is very important. But we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We're not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us so that you'll have an answer to those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, that is mad, it is some were accusing Paul and the other Christians that were sharing the gospel in Corinth that they were crazy. It is for God. If we're crazy, we're crazy for God. If we're of sound mind, it's for you. Now here's a very important verse. For the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, fourth, therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him. We know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. This is the fifth, therefore. That is, if you're in Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved, you become a new creature. Old things pass away in your life. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us, Christians, the ministry of reconciliation. namely, God was in Christ reconciling the world. You know, this is reconciliation, is bringing two bitter enemies to make peace. So we've been given the ministry of reconciliation, namely, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Second time. Therefore, sixth, therefore. You think Paul's making some points here? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. What do we have here? Number one, we'll all stand and give account for how we've lived our life. Number two, or I should have said number one, our aim is to please the Lord. Number two, we'll stand and give account for whether or not we were pleasing to the Lord. Because of the fear of the Lord, we tell people about Jesus. Why do we do that? Because there's a real hell.
That's right. Amen.
Because people who die without Jesus Christ go to hell. What a sad thing. It ought to grieve our hearts. It ought to burden our hearts. The world filled with people tonight who are on, they are busy about everything on this planet, but have no thought about death or about dying or about heaven or hell. We fear God, so we persuade men. If it takes begging, we beg them to be saved. He also says to remind us, those who come to Christ are new creatures, all of us. At some point, someone shared the gospel with you and you believed in Jesus Christ and you became a new person. If we're in Christ, we're a new creature. But what have we been given now? Those of us who are new creatures in Christ. It doesn't say, verse 18, now all these things are from God who's reconciled us to Himself and given to the preachers. It doesn't say He's given to the deacons. Or it doesn't say He's given it to really super mature Christians, the ministry of reconciliation. He's given it to, I'm looking at a room full, us.
Amen.
All of us. We've all been given a ministry, and that is the ministry of reconciliation. So verse 20, we're ambassadors. We represent Jesus Christ. When people see us, let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Look, you want to know what the fire and the engine of a church is? It's doing what Jesus called us to do. It's number one. It is the duty and privilege of every follower of Christ and of every church of the Lord Jesus Christ to endeavor to make disciples of all nations. So, on your sheet, famous words, aren't they? So, what does the Lord want you to do tonight? What does He want me to do? He wants us to do our job. He wants the church, you know, the church, this room is filled with people who listen to a lot of preachers and a lot, that's just the nature of it. You listen to a lot of voices, a lot of preachers, a lot of opinions. Lots of people worrying about how the church is going to be relevant. Doesn't matter. It matters, here's how you're relevant. You tell the generation that's alive today to be saved, to be born again, to come to Christ. We don't spend our time on all these other ancillary things. Church gets caught up in, it's been our problem for thousands of years. We forgot what the Lord said. Matthew 28. Look, I want to make sure that this church, I'm on record here. It's on tape or video or whatever it's called. It's documented. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The last words of our Lord before He ascended. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The book of Acts 13, when they were ministering at the church in Antioch. They were ministering to the Lord and they were fasting. The Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. What was that work? To go build church buildings? No. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. They sent their best men away from the church to go do missions. They sent their best men. Their best men went to places unknown. These were Jews going into the Gentile world. And I promise you, you think it's bad for Jewish people today? It's always been bad for Jewish people in the world. They went being sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. Here we go. I'm trying to remember. I'm going to ask you the question. Do you remember the first time you saw someone pray to receive Christ? Do you remember the first time, maybe you've never done this, but my prayer is that our church will be filled with opportunities for this, that you had the opportunity to share the gospel with someone. By the way, let's remind ourselves, what does gospel mean? Gospel means good news. It's there under number one. Here is the good news. Paul said, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of who remain until now. That is, when Paul was writing this, they were still alive. Some have died. Some have fallen asleep. That's the gospel. Jesus died. Notice. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, number one. Number two, He was buried. He was dead. And then He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and then He appeared to His people. Now, do you remember the first time you ever saw somebody pray to receive Christ? Somebody says to me, well, Pastor Mike, boy, my heart is just cold. I'm going to tell you how to warm your heart up. Share the gospel with people. Love people where they are, and wait for the wonderful opportunity to witness with your own eyes someone that you have shared the gospel with pray to receive Christ. Amen. It is a life-changing experience. Amen. I testify and I'm grateful. And by the way, why do we set up our church the way we do? Well, we want our people to go on missions. Because for some of our missions, this is the first opportunity they're going to go. It may be easier, and it is sometimes, rather than trying to have people do what we need to do here in the neighborhood, talking to people about Jesus, to go and participate in a mission project. And we have a lot of them. We have many good opportunities to go across the United States. We have opportunities here on this campus. When the cars come and we give away food, we share the gospel. What I'm saying is, the students have opportunities to go, the children have opportunities to go. Brother Ken was at the water park yesterday, and several of us were there chasing kids. But there were other people there who weren't from First Baptist Church. Well, we talked with them about their life, who they are, and sought to share the gospel. I'm grateful that as a boy I grew up going with people who went to the jails. I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to go to the rescue mission when I was a kid. I'm grateful for the opportunity to have gone on all kinds of mission trips. Our church was like our church. We went. We took our people. I'm grateful for the bus ministry that I had a chance to be a part of. The saddest thing in the world is for people to go to church and never know how to share the gospel. And that's shame on Pastor Mike. Shame on every pastor in this church if we don't find a way to challenge and encourage our people to tell somebody else about Jesus. If you don't, this is why we go in teams. This is why we go in groups. The Lord always sent them out together, two by two. Two are better than one. That is my desire. But how do we share the gospel? Well, here's the fact. You're not going to ever tell somebody about a Jesus you don't know. You must be born again to be motivated to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, in this room, I know enough stories. I could talk about some people in here, and I'm not going to embarrass them. who have in their heart a desire to tell people about the Lord Jesus. You know what fires? The fires of renewal and revival come when the church is busy sharing the gospel, whether they ever come to this church or not. We have, we'll have next year two block parties. Again, we'll have one in, we're going to go back to White Bluff, and we're going to go back to White Bluff, not White House, White Bluff. And we're going to go also to Burns. We're also going to have the fireworks. What are we going to do? Somebody said last time, well, all these people are here. What are we supposed to do? Go talk to them. Hi, I'm so-and-so. Do what you do at the grocery store. Do what you do when you're standing in that line at Walmart where there's no checkout people. Do what you do. The point is, there is in the heart of every believer a motivation to tell somebody else the best news in their life, how they found Jesus Christ. So number two, the new birth of man's spirit by God's Holy Spirit means the birth of love for others. You know what? People hate each other in the world. They grow up with hatred. That's not a, I mean, we got this dear boy, we got to pray for the dear people in that town about the size of Dixon down there in Georgia. This 14-year-old boy shoots people and kills people. Hatred. Not even any real, people just hate. When you get saved, God takes your hatred away.
Amen.
The Lord said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. The Lord Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. Romans 13:12, owe no one, excuse the typing there, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who has loved his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And then we have all of those references, especially in chapter 4, 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. God, when we are born again, God changes us from haters to lovers. You love people. That doesn't mean you like everything they do. I don't know how much of my ministry life I've listened to people all worked up. I'm talking about Christians worked up about people who had sinful, godless lifestyles. Are we expecting people who are not saved to act like saved people? That's not real. They're going to act in corrupt, godless ways. Oh, by the way, I was a sinner saved by grace and still am. And I did godless things before I was saved. And everybody in this room did. So as we look at this, someone says, well, if I love them, boy, that means that I'm agreeing with what they do. Now, where did that come from? None of these things the Lord's saying, you know, love one another, yes, in the church, but we must love the world because God so loved the world.
Amen.
Look, if there's no love for other people, we'll never share the gospel. Did you know that? And so I believe that God changes our love. We become lovers, not haters. That's why it's always a terrible thing when there's hate in the church. You've got to root it out. It's unacceptable. It's godless. It's demonic. We love one another. We love one another, which means we care for each other. And what happens? People on the outside say, these people are different. They love each other. They love each other. They're patient. They're kind. They're tender-hearted. They exhibit qualities like Jesus Christ. So the world is filled with haters and hate language. It's everywhere. You don't have to go far to hear it. So do we join in with it? You see, when we get saved, it means that we have a growing love for others. Why in the world, would we risk, and this is truly the truth, why would we risk some of our men getting on planes, going to Southeast Asia and trekking in the Himalayas to people who have never heard of Jesus, have no idea about the gospel, never seen a Bible, never, many of them seen a white person? Why would we do that? Why would the missionaries in Southern Baptist life go to the ends of the earth as we have for all of these generations? Why would, because we read it, the love of Christ controls us. That's what sends us. There's no other reason. Someone said to me one time who was very worried about money in the church, well, if the church would just cut its missions, boy, we'd have enough to operate. Look, turn the lights off here before you cut your missions. Turn the lights off. We'll get candles. My point is to say this is the driver of our church. And my desire as the pastor of this church is that every boy and girl, all your children, all your grandchildren, and all of us will be challenged in multiple different ways that are comfortable for us to learn how to and have the opportunity to share the gospel. Some of you, we have some of them in this room. Some of you, if you wanted to just see it done, you wouldn't even have to do it. We wouldn't even force you to do it. But when we do the, we give food away, we give it to thousands of people. And we, I tell this to the church repeatedly. Thousands of people. As we give out the food with Second Harvest, we have a tent, we bring them to a tent, and our men and women share the gospel right here. And people pray to receive Christ, and people have prayed to receive Christ, but you could see it. You could witness it. Number three, missionary effort on the part of all rests thus upon a spiritual necessity of a regenerate life. In other words, we're not going to go be missionaries if we're not born again. There's nobody going to do that. And is expressly and repeatedly commanded in the teachings of Christ. Notice they went out and preached everywhere. As soon as the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead and He ascended to heaven, Mark 16, they went out and preached everywhere. That wasn't the preachers, by the way. The apostles were only 11. And so it's not 11 guys, it's everybody. It's all the believers. Did you know when you share the gospel, you're preaching? You're declaring, you're speaking about Jesus. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead. Would you not like to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts 8:4. Those who have been scattered went about preaching the word. Well, when the persecution in Jerusalem came in the early chapters of Acts, guess what? The church was scattered. All those who had believed, those thousands were scattered all over Judea and Samaria, that whole region. They were fleeing because there was persecution. Guess what they did? They didn't just run and hide. They preached the word. They preached the gospel everywhere they went. Philippians 2, so that you prove yourselves to be blameless, innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We live holy lives in a world of ungodly holiness, holy people, not to be better, but because we follow Jesus. Notice, among whom we appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, Paul says, I have reason to glory because I did not run in vain. The Lord Jesus commanded us to preach the gospel to all nations. Why do we go on missions? When I first came here, we started talking about going on missions, and Todd, as a part of his job, discipleship and missions became his focus. Why? Because I believe that we should get, if we can get every adult and every student age person, and we've taken some of our children actually on some mission events, if we can get as many of our people on mission, whether it's local or U.S. or international, we've done our job. Amen. It's going. So Matthew 28, what did the Lord say? Go make disciples. He gave geographic boundaries, Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth. And then the Lord said, before He comes again, this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Bless God. I talked with some of our Gideons today. Thank God for our Gideons. Thank God for technology. The gospel and the preaching of the Bible can be heard on podcasts, on all kinds of... Now the world can hear. Now the world can hear. And finally, Mark 13, the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Then the end comes. The Lord Jesus said, go to the nations. Southern Baptists have a rich history of missions. Sadly, most of our church is not aware of this rich history. We have sent missionaries for generations. Southern Baptists combine our monies cooperatively. We give our monies together, and we cooperatively, I'm having words trouble tonight, put our money together and send missionaries all over the United States to start churches and around the world. Missionaries don't have to come beg for money. We provide the best. Southern Baptists give their money to missions off the top, not what's left over. That's what we do. We operate here after we give to missions, and it's a lot. And you should pay attention to the budget if you're members. That's very important. And that's for some of you, a business decision. We do it that way on purpose. It is the duty of every child of God to seek constantly to win the lost to Christ by verbal witness. It is the duty of every child of God. If you're not equipped to do this, I have not done my job. The pastors haven't done their jobs. This is our task, to equip you for the work of service. And sharing the gospel is not hard. Which leads me to the second paper. All of you should have gotten this paper here. I hope you picked it up. Do you have this? Can everybody, yes, see it? You picked it up? I guess it's on the back of your sheet, or is it a separate sheet? I don't know how it came. This is my favorite way of sharing the gospel. Look, I can do this on a napkin. You can do it on a napkin. There's lots of ways to share the gospel, but this is as simple as can be. It's called the Bridge to Life. Notice, on the right hand, there's God. On the left hand, there's a problem. Here's man. And before this cross is here, there's a big gap. There's separation between God and man. And it's caused, Romans 3:23, because we've all sinned and we fall short. Romans 6:23, if people live and die in their sins, they die. Well, we die because of sin. It affects our bodies. But there's spiritual death for those who will not believe. Sin leads to death, and then death leads to judgment. I'm just reading the left side. And good works are never enough. I've said it to you. Hear me preach it all the time. As people have told me, I've shared the gospel. I'm grateful. I share the gospel as much as I can everywhere I go. And, you know, response is always, you know, somewhat like this. Well, you know what? I appreciate that you shared that with me. But, you know, I'm just going to count on, I'm going to kind of do my own deal. I'm going to do my own deal with God. You sure you want to do that? You sure you want to do your own deal with God? It's not going to work out good if you do your own deal with God. Amen. The Lord Jesus did the deal with God. Amen. Now notice, the problem is we can't get to God. There's a gap. Our sin has put a deep chasm between us. And God is a holy God, and He cannot have relation with sin without something. What's the solution? Jesus died for us. Jesus died for our sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Anybody happy to hear that tonight?
Amen.
And now Jesus can bring us to God. He comes with us across the bridge. Come with me. I'll take you to God. I'll bring you into reconciliation with God. You see, God loves the world and He wants to give us eternal life. But He does ask and give us the opportunity to choose. That's a real thing. That's not like a robot. Some have the idea that, you know, God just made some people and they're going to believe. It's like, no, there's no robots. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It is an act of will. Whatever condition, or we want to analyze what the will, condition of the will is, it is a real act. And in this room, my prayer is that all of you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, and you're not just religious. We got a man sitting in here. Where's Gerald at? Where is Gerald? There you are. There's Gerald. Gerald Burgess. Now, Gerald's going to be moving away, so I'm going to embarrass him right now big time. Here it is. This man right here went to church all of his life. His dad, when he was a nine-year-old, wanted all of his boys in his Sunday school class over in Carolina to be saved. Well, Gerald prayed because he wanted his dad to be happy, but Gerald wasn't saved. And Gerald grew up in Southern Baptist Church. You can't get more Southern than Carolina. I mean, that's deeper than Tennessee. He had it all over him. He knew all the stuff we do as Southern Baptists. He lived it his whole life. But he was, you know, like my old friends in Oklahoma, he was lost as a ball in the high weeds. He didn't know Jesus Christ. He didn't have a relationship. He was a religiously lost man, and there are lots of them. Amen. Well, I go to church. Okay, congratulations. What's the old saying? Going to church doesn't make you any more a Christian than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. Yeah, some of you have to go and think about that. That's deep. What I just gave you there is deep. Gerald didn't know the Lord. He was miserable. Where do some of these miserable people in church come from? Well, it could be they're unhappy because they're still separated from God. They know all the religious words. Gerald knew his Bible. He knew what the Bible had to say. He listened to preaching all of his life. Unsaved. A religiously unsaved man. Now, if I'm not doing a good job on it, you can do it better. But all right. He was miserable. Finally, it got so bad, the preacher up here was preaching. He went home late on the bed. And then he did the smartest thing he could ever do. He went down and asked his wife what was wrong, and she said, "You're not saved." Am I making it up? And so Gerald Burgess prayed to receive Christ with his wife, came back to church, and the preacher said, "Well, what in the world are you coming down here for? You're a religious man." "Because I'm not saved and I've just been saved." Is that not a good testimony? We should congratulate Brother Gerald. All right. I've been at this a long time and I'm not any fool, but I've been in a lot of churches where wheat and tares. They look the same, but they're not. Wheat and tares. You shall know them by their fruit. Well, we just got to get a lot more people to come to church. I'm good with that. But when they come to church, we must confront them with this. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might be saved. And cross the bridge and live in glorious heavenly hallelujah. Gerald, now you're not going to preach. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I would just like to say because of this church and because of all the things they've done over many generations, that Sunday afternoon, I was the most miserable person in the United States of America. I'm sure of that. I'm so thankful for a godly wife who could step in and lead me to the foot of the cross and for me to repent and ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. As soon as I did that, I've told you this, I got up from my knees. I felt like a new man. And I knew I had to come down to the church that night. And Satan said, "You don't want to go down to that church house. Tell them people what you just did. They're going to laugh at you." And I said, "Satan, I'm going. And I'm going to take a shower right now. And we're going to church. And I'm going to tell them." And that was the story. That's the true story.
To God be the glory, Gerald. We love you, my brother. Now the hymn for the night. We've a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their heart to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. We have a message to give to the nations that the Lord who reigns above has sent us His Son to save us and show us that God is love and show us that God is love. We have a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples may come to the truth of God, may come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Can anybody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Sunday.